Well, good evening. It's good to be here this evening. I always appreciate every opportunity I have to be able to present a lesson to this fine congregation. In 1636, a small institution of learning was founded in Massachusetts in order to help students, quote, to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, end quote. The school's motto was Truth for Christ and the Church. The aim of the college was to equip students with tools to become ministers and better servants of God. In fact, the students were required to read the Bible at least twice a day. Today, however, Harvard University bears little resemblance to the school founded so long ago. In 1701, another school was formed in Connecticut. Students were required to, quote, live religious, godly, and blameless lives according to the rules of God's Word, diligently reading the Holy Scriptures, the fountain of light and truth, and constantly attend upon all the duties of religion, both in public and secret, end quote. Prayer was a requirement. Furthermore, every student was instructed to consider the main end of his study to know God in Jesus Christ and to lead a godly, sober life. Well, some 300 years later, Yale University is no longer instructing its students in this matter. Well, a while back, I read a book entitled Mission Drift by Peter Greer and Christ Horst. And both men are involved with a group called Hope International, which is a Christ-centered organization focused on bringing people out of poverty around the world. But the authors wanted to know why so many organizations, institutions, charities, schools, and even churches drifted from their original mission. And they had found through their work across the world that there were lots of organizations, just like Harvard and Yale, that had at one time started out with a specific mission but had drifted quite away from that. What they found is that drifting is not only probable, but actually inevitable unless you are determined to put heart, purpose, and planning into your mission. So the authors studied other organizations that didn't drift but remained true to their mission and studied them to see what it was that they had done in order to remain true to their original mission. Well, I believe that this information can be put into our lives as Christians as well. And so what I want us to do tonight is to first of all, look at some dangers of drifting, and then look at some remedies of drifting, how we can avoid doing it. Well, first of all, the dangers of drifting, it requires no effort. Sometimes we just let the currents of life carry us along. And tonight, off and on, I'm going to refer to probably Shoal Creek. I know a lot of us have had a lot of good times down at Alan Cook's place and probably other areas along Shoal Creek where we're able to drift and canoe and swim and do that sort of thing. But anytime I think about drifting and currents, I think about riding one of the kayaks down there at Shoal Creek. And it really takes no effort. Once you get into that water, you just kind of float along. I'm sure you've probably had a canoe trip or some other kind of floating trip on one of the area bodies of water around here. Now, this weekend would not be a good time to be floating Shoal Creek. It's not so much a gentle float as probably a scramble for your life. But generally, when the creek level is normal, it's a very pleasant, easygoing atmosphere. We're really just along for the ride. We put the canoe or the kayak in the water, and we just let that water carry us along. And a lot of us, I think, in our lives have that sort of a mindset. We're just really allowing life to carry us along. We don't have much thought or putting much thought or effort into what we're doing. And really, it's the easy way out because it doesn't require any effort. It's kind of like being on autopilot. I think a lot of us know people, or maybe we've experienced it ourselves, we're just going along. We're just going through the motions. We're just living, but not really paying attention to what we're doing. And that can be very dangerous. And as Christians, that's a really bad thing to do. And I'm afraid that a lot of Christians today are just drifting along and are really more of pew potatoes. You know, we've probably used that term couch potatoes before, people who just lay on the couch and just veg. We can be guilty of the same thing of being pew potatoes. We just show up, we sit in the pew, and we go home. We're not really involved. We're just drifting along. The authors of Mission Drift found that the biggest barrier that people face in staying mission true is their innate aversion to pain. In other ways of saying this, it can be stated that they're just really afraid of hard work and maybe the consequences that might come along with their decisions. Nobody likes conflict, but pain avoidance is the fastest way for mission drift to occur. We just don't want to cause any trouble. We don't really want to create any waves, so to speak. We just want to kind of go along and just be easy, just relax. But the biggest weakness facing faith-based organizations that these authors found is their unwillingness to make hard decisions. You know, we can maybe put that into practice here, maybe thinking about the eldership. They might have something that they know they need to do, but it's just easier to avoid it. Maybe in our own individual lives, you know, there's things that we know we need to do or correct, but it's just easier to just drift along, to live the life we've normally been living. And the same is true for individuals that we're too afraid of hard work and we want to avoid pain and conflict. But, you know, honestly, to be a good Christian, it's going to take work. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul tells us to be diligent, to show yourselves approved unto God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Paul also said in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. All these passages give us the idea that we're going to have to work at what it needs to be done to be a Christian. We're not just going to be faithful to God by simply showing up. We need to run that race. In 2 Timothy 4:7-8, Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. It's going to take work on our behalf to be that faithful Christian. One of the quotes from this book I read that I really liked was, how much better to collapse in allegiance than to survive by compromising on what matters most. To collapse in allegiance. Now, those are some pretty powerful words. And those words makes me think about what Eldon often prays for, and I'm very thankful that he does, but he prays to God that he will wear us out in his service. And so I think it's better for us to be worn out in service to God than it is to just drift along. So one of the problems with drifting is it doesn't take any work at all. It's just an easy thing to do. Another problem is that we can't drift to a specific location. We can't sit in that kayak or that canoe and just simply drift to a location we want to go. The current's going to take us wherever it decides to take us. We can't control our course or our destination. Drifting, therefore, means that we have no focus. Another quote from Mission Drift, if you don't know where you are going, any road will get you there. And that's one of the fun things about drifting in the creek. It's just fun to let it take you along. But in our lives, especially our Christian lives, if we don't have a goal in mind, if we don't have a destination in focus, then we're just going to get off track really, really quick. And as such, we won't be able to drift into heaven. If we're just pew potatoes along for the ride and we're just being relaxed and not putting any effort into it, we're just not going to be able to drift our way into heaven. Jesus says that it's going to take work. In Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We have to seek after the kingdom of God. We just can't drift into it. Luke 13:24 says to strive. Let's focus on that word. Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. In Matthew 7:13-14, he says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So if we think about it, the easy way, the drifting way, is going to lead us to destruction. That's where everybody is going. And if we just find ourselves drifting along, we're going to get caught up in that current of the world. It's going to take us away from God, from His kingdom from heaven. We're going to have to seek and strive to enter in through that difficult way. And Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 6 that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be satisfied, not those who are just simply drifting along in the currents of life. So we won't be able to drift into heaven. We won't be able to just find our way drifting along to a specific destination. Another problem with drifting is that speed increases the closer we get to danger. You know, we can be lazily drifting along, relaxing, carried by the currents, when all of a sudden, we suddenly realize that we're in danger. We're caught off guard and realize that we might be heading for something very dangerous. You might think of a river that's getting ready to head over a cliff and turn into a waterfall. I always think of Bugs Bunny. It seems like there were tons of Bugs Bunny cartoons where suddenly one of the characters was caught in that river and they're scrambling as hard as they could, but they couldn't do anything about it and they go over that waterfall. I'm going to pick on Zechariah Anderson since he's not here to defend himself, but one time we were down at the creek, and those of you who've been down there where Cook's place is, you might remember that the water kind of narrows down and goes over this old dam. And it's not much of a drop-off there, but the water gets narrow and swift, and the water does go over that bit of a dam right there. And so Zechariah decided he's going to jump into a kayak and hadn't done that there in that particular location before, and he just jumps right in. Well, the more experienced among us remember and realize that we have to pull that kayak away from that area just a little bit and start paddling upstream. Well, he hops into that kayak and just goes right into that current, and he's paddling, and he's paddling, and he's paddling. Well, it was too late. That current grabbed a hold of him and just made him go right over that little waterfall, and the look on his face was priceless. It was pretty funny to watch, and he was fine. It wasn't that big of a deal, but he had to pull that kayak back up over that area. And if you sit there and wait long enough, you will see people who come along around the bend on the creek, and not knowing that there's that little bit of danger there, some of them will suddenly start panicking, and they'll go sideways or something trying to avoid that waterfall, and if they're not careful, they'll capsize going over the edge of that. So we got to be careful when we're drifting, because if we're not paying attention, we can get sucked up into that danger. If we're not prepared spiritually, we won't be able to do anything about it if we wait too long. We may think that we have all the time in the world to prepare for the life that is to come, to get our lives right with God, to say, you know, I'm young, I'll get right with God one of these days. I'll turn away from my sins. I'll be pleasing to God. I'll go to church. I'll get baptized. I'll do all those things I know I need to do. But right now, I'm going to sow my wild oats. That's not what the Bible teaches us, though. James chapter 4 and verse 14, James tells us that our life is like a vapor. It's just here for a little while, and then it zips away. And the older you get, the more you realize how true that is. And then, you know, just because we might live a long life doesn't mean that we're guaranteed a long, long life to be able to get right. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 tells us that the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. So what the Scripture is trying to tell us is that our life is short. We don't know when our life will be taken from us. We don't know when Christ will come back. And when this life is over, it's too late to do anything about it. So we need to make sure we take the opportunity we have now to be pleasing to God and not just be drifting along, but that we're seeking after Him. Another problem with drifting is it's dangerous to others. December 14th, 1996, about 2:30 in the afternoon, there was an ocean freighter called Bright Field. It was heading downstream the Mississippi River near New Orleans. Due to some negligence in maintenance, the ship lost engine power and began to drift. Now, it wasn't going very fast, but a great big ship just going along on the currents has that momentum and inertia to keep moving. And it started to drift right for this area along the New Orleans bank there called the Riverwalk. It's kind of a shopping mall that's right on the Mississippi River right there. A 763-foot ship was so heavy, its own weight along with the river continued to carry it along right until it smashed into the pier. It injured 116 people and it caused millions of dollars of damage. Luckily, no lives were lost. You can actually see video of this happening. It's very weird because Once they realized that they were out of control, they started blaring their horns. It took 3 minutes for them, by the time they started blaring their horns, before they finally crashed into the pier. It's not like a car wreck that just happens in the split of a second, in the blink of an eye, but it took 3 minutes for that massive ship slowly coming, but it had so much inertia and momentum that it smashed into the pier. You can actually find video of that on YouTube. A drifting ship is not only dangerous to itself, but it's probably more dangerous to other ships around it. And spiritually speaking, the same can be said for us. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, Paul says, "As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine and by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." If we don't grow up and start pulling our own weight, we may bring others down with us, and we may fall prey to deceitful spirits. As Paul says, we don't want to be just tossed around by the waves and the trickery and the wind of doctrine that can deceive us. We need to grow up and make sure that we are planted firmly in the Word. And if we don't, we can actually cause damage to those around us and bring them down with us as well. And finally, the ultimate end is shipwreck if we continue to drift. And just like that drifting ship crashed into the pier, we must make certain that we don't drift away from the Word and shipwreck our souls. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, Paul says, "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith." So if we don't strive and fight for that good fight, then the ultimate end is shipwreck for our lives. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1-3, "For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" So there the Hebrews writer is encouraging us not to drift away from that word. Because if we do, then the ultimate end is our own shipwreck. Well, what are some things that we can do to make sure that we don't drift away? Well, first of all, we need to make sure that we continue steady rowing. You know, drifting is easy to do, like we've said. One of my favorite float trips was actually on the Current River over by Van Buren, Missouri. A buddy and I, we floated that river, and we put a canoe in 12 miles upstream from Van Buren, and that entire 12 miles, we didn't hardly have to touch our oars one time. In fact, there was one point that I remember laying down and taking a nap, just drifting along on that Current River. It's very relaxing and beautiful, but we can't do that in our spiritual lives. It's going to take work. We have to row and work at it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." It takes effort to go against the currents of man and work towards that heavenly home. Like we said earlier, you know, the broad way is where everybody's going, and if we're not careful, we'll just drift into that way. We don't want to go that way. We don't want to be conformed to that world, but we want to be transformed. In Amos chapter 6, and verse 1, Amos says, "Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure in the mountain of Samaria." I think another way of saying that is, be careful that we don't just get too relaxed in our Christianity. You know, if we're feeling really laid back and relaxed and feel like things are going pretty good, we probably ought to stop and examine ourselves and say, okay, maybe I need to be working a little bit harder. It takes work. Drifting is comfortable and lazy. We're in danger if we don't keep up steady rowing. But don't be afraid of hard work. Don't be afraid of making difficult decisions. And when I think of maybe some of those who have been guilty of drifting, I think of the church at Laodicea. In Revelation chapter 3, beginning of verse 15, Here's what Jesus says to them. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And he says in verse 19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. I think Jesus is saying there, I don't like when you're drifting. I don't like it. They're just being pew potatoes, that you're just showing up, not really putting an effort into it. You know, be one way or the other, but let us be zealous for God. Drifting along, if we're not careful, we can become indifferent. Indifferent to life, indifferent to Christ and His church, indifferent to those souls around us. And we can adopt a I don't care attitude. We've got to be careful about that. We don't want to be like that college student who wasn't putting any effort into his classes and was failing, and one of his professors said, I don't know what's wrong with you. Are you ignorant or just apathetic? And the student says, I don't know and I don't care. We don't want to be like that. Let's make sure that we work, continue steady rowing towards Christ. Something else that we can do is guard against the riptides and the currents. It's easy to get caught up in swift currents whenever we're swimming and whenever we're just drifting along and then just discover we're in danger. And sometimes there are hidden dangers and hidden currents just under the surface that can pull us under. My family was just recently down at the ocean, and I was telling my kids about riptides, you know, to be careful about not getting too far out away from the shore, because there are these dangerous currents that are just underneath the surface of the water, and people have gotten caught up and taken away out to ocean. And the same is true in life. If we're just drifting along and not paying attention, we can suddenly be caught up by something. And before we realize it, we're caught up in something that's bad and dangerous and pulling us away from Christ. And we may not even be realizing it until it's dangerously late. You know, temptation and sin is like that. It likes to take us by surprise. And it's easy to give in to temptation and sin whenever we're just drifting along. We've let our current down and we're being lazy and not really putting any effort into it. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:11 that I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. And when you think about it, when Peter's telling us that temptation is out there waging war against us, so we need to be prepared for battle. We can't be ready for battle if we're just drifting along. We need to avoid temptation and then, if necessary, resist temptation. At first you might say, well, isn't that the same thing? Well, no, it's not. Avoiding temptation means that you are aware of temptation, where it is, what it might pop up and grab a hold of you. For example, you know, if you have a problem with alcoholism, then you know that you shouldn't go to a bar or a place that serves alcohol, because that's where the temptation is. So you stay away from that. If you have an issue with gambling, you're not going to go to a casino, because that's where the temptation is at. If you are in those areas, then you're going to have to resist temptation. Well, it's a whole lot easier to avoid temptation than it is to simply resist it. So if we can avoid temptation, we can not have to work at resisting it, which is a lot harder to do. But if we find ourselves in those places where it feels like we're just overwhelmed, remember 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Paul tells us that no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he'll provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. We need to make sure that we have a specific destination in mind and work towards it. You know, we said earlier that we can't drift into heaven. It's going to take work. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There's that idea of running a race. You can't win a marathon by just simply drifting lazily across the finish line. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, and fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, we can't drift into heaven. We got to make sure that we work and that we keep our eyes fixed on Christ. We have to make sure that we go against the tide. Going upstream against the current takes hard work. Again, going back down to Shoal Creek, it's fun to put the kayak in. And where the creek is really wide, it doesn't take much effort to paddle upstream. But if you're down there by Cook's Place and you're paddling up, you get close to the bridge that goes there on E Highway, it suddenly starts to narrow. And the narrower the water gets, the faster it gets. Well, as you're trying to paddle upstream against that narrower current, it's getting a lot faster. And you're having to paddle harder and harder. And there's at one point where you're just paddling as hard as you can. You look over and you realize you're not hardly making any headway. But if you work and work and work at it, finally you can get past that little spot and continue going upstream. Well, sometimes in our Christian life, that's what it feels like. It's like we're just paddling against the current. Everybody else around us is going one direction. You know, again, in Matthew chapter 7, the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. So that's where the crowd is going. If we find ourselves with the crowd and realize that we're just getting locked up with that current and they're going in that direction, it can take a lot of effort to turn around and paddle against that current. But that's what we have to do. We need to make sure that we guard ourselves against the riptide and the current. And finally, we need to be able to use an anchor. An anchor can keep the boat stationed where it needs to be and prevent it from drifting away. It can also be used in emergency situations. You know, that ship I mentioned a moment ago, the Bright Field. The power went out, electricity went out. Apparently, there was a lot of miscommunication going on the ship, and a lot of training hadn't been done properly. Well, the captain had ordered the anchor to be dropped. And there is an emergency release mechanism where they can drop an anchor very, very quickly. But that communication from the captain never made it down to the people who were in charge of that mechanism. So they didn't do it. They could have dropped that anchor and stopped that ship from plowing into that river walk, but it didn't happen. Well, the same can be true for us. If we find ourselves suddenly drifting away from God, or if we find ourselves caught up in a current with the wrong crowd, the wrong group of people, we need to remember that we have an anchor right here in the Word of God. In fact, Hebrews 6, verse 19 says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast." Let's remember to use that anchor whenever we need it, to turn to God whenever we find ourselves drifting, and to pray and to repent of our lack of effort to get back on course. The authors of Mission Drift discovered that if you don't intentionally keep your eyes focused on your goal, you will eventually drift from your target. They also found that it is possible to remain true to your mission. I said earlier, they found that there were lots of organizations that drifted away from their initial mission, but they studied groups and organizations that didn't. And what they found were those groups of people, those organizations, those schools, those charities, whatever they were very focused on their mission and what they were founded on. There was one group that I remember specifically that once a year, they were required to read their founding documents. And I can't remember if it was a school or what the organization was, but basically all the members of that board, of that governing body, they had to read the founding documents every year to remind them why that organization was founded in the first place. And then a lot of these other groups, they put in rules and procedures that nobody could change the founding documents, the underlying major governing rules for those organizations without all kinds of hoops and things to jump through. You know, they couldn't just sit around and decide one day, a majority of us decided that we're not going to follow this rule anymore. We're going to change the big meaning of this group. Now, all these groups that remained mission true had their mission in focus, and they made sure that they were reminded of what their mission was on a frequent manner. So drifting means that you have no focus and you've lost sight of your goal. And drifting is probable, and unless you determine to do something about it, very inevitable. It's going to occur unless you put heart and purpose into every decision you make. Mission drift will occur in your individual lives unless we all set our minds and hearts on guarding the most fundamental truth, which is Jesus Christ must be at the center of everything that we do. We cannot allow anything to compromise that. Jesus needs to be at the center of our everyday lives, not just here on Sundays and Wednesdays, but he needs to be at the center of every decision that we make. And he needs to be the center of our everyday lives. Are you drifting along this evening? Have you allowed mission drift to occur in your Christian living? Do you need help to get back on course? Do you have your eyes set and fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? If not, then tonight is a perfect opportunity to correct your course, to get back on track with Christ. Or perhaps you've never even got set on your mission in the first place. Perhaps you haven't responded to what you've heard and believed in the Word of God and repented of your sins, confessed of your belief before men, and been baptized. If you haven't done those things, well, tonight is the perfect opportunity. If there's anything that we can do to help you, won't you please come as together we stand and sing this song.